Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This is the Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Goodison Park.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Royal Blue Podcast. I'm Phil Kirkbride, and tonight I am joined by Dave Prentice, Adam Jones and Gav Buckland as we chew the fat over the one major talking point at Goodison Park. And as you will see, we are recording this evening, and with good reason, because at 6 o'clock, this evening, Everton confirmed the departure of Carlo Ancelotti. He has now become the head coach of Real Madrid. Less than 18 months after his appointment at Goodison, he is gone on a truly remarkable day at the football club, and not for good reasons, of course. Carlo's gone almost in the blink of an eye, describing an unexpected opportunity that came his way that he could not turn down. Before we get into sort of the detail and the why and the where and what's next, I mean, just generally give me your thoughts and feelings on not even a 24-hour period of tumultuous change at the football club. It's more like 12, 18 hours, isn't it?
Very much so. I'm shocked. I'm disappointed. I'm very, very frustrated. And I'm surprised there was not an inkling of this over the weekend. I mean, from, you know, inquiries we've made today, it sounds like there was only an initial approach made on Saturday. Although having said that, other things come to mind then, and there's like some social media posts doing the rounds out there of Carlo's daughter apparently saying her goodbyes to her local gym a fortnight ago. So, you know, was something in the offing there? Now then, you start looking for all kinds of shadows in, you know, corners. Well, certainly the football club themselves were taken completely by surprise. They certainly weren't expecting anything like this. And it's put them in a very, very difficult position, unexpectedly, having secured the elite, you know, sort of Hollywood manager, if you like, that Farhad Moshiri always craved and backed him significantly. He's basically 18 months later decided that he's got a better offer elsewhere. And all right, you know, so Real Madrid, one of the world's greatest football clubs, you can understand the appeal there, but, you know, to make these statements about, you know, they were always in my heart, well, were they really? You know, he's only there for 2 years. He's Italian, you know, so why Madrid suddenly, you know, so much embedded in his heart? I don't know. The whole thing leaves you feeling a little bit sour and a little bit disappointed. Carlo said all the right things. Did he actually mean that many of them? I don't know. Well, I know it does leave Everton in a very difficult position, having to scour what is not particularly quality-laden transfer markets at the moment to try and bring somebody in that can rip up what Carlo started and start all over again. And how many times have we said that over the last 3 or 4 years? It's very disappointing. I can understand why Everton fans are very upset, because it was very, very unwanted, this, regardless of how the season ended and regardless of the last 3 or 4 months of the season. This was totally unwanted.
Adam, how do you feel? You know, the football club are looking for a fifth new permanent manager in the last 7-8 years since Farhad came in and what have you. I mean, you know, what are your thoughts on a crazy day?
I'm starting to feel like I'm cursed in this job now. I've been in this job for less than 4 years, and I'm going to be on to my fifth permanent manager in a couple of weeks, which is just absolutely insane. And, you know, it's very much as Preno said, like we kind of woke up this morning and we'd heard those sort of reports in Spain last night. And, you know, I wasn't really thinking much of them, to be honest. When I woke up this morning, I thought I might have to chase something down about them. But, you know, it's part and parcel of this job. I never thought it would actually escalate into something that, you know, would transpire tonight at the very most. And yeah, I think the main feeling that you just do have is disappointment, isn't it? Because, you know, a lot of people have mentioned Carlo Ancelotti's, you know, comments over the last few weeks, months, you know, the last year almost, you know, talking about the project, the initially got him to Goodison Park, and, you know, even as much as he, well, as soon as a few weeks ago, talking about, you know, the next steps of that project, you know, talking about the summer and, you know, working hard with Marcel Brands to improve this squad, etc., etc. Like, Carlo Ancelotti doesn't strike me as a disingenuous man. You know, I think he's not the type to make flippant comments that he doesn't mean in situations like that. I can probably say that he probably did mean those comments when he was saying them. He was completely invested in the project, and he was working hard to try and, you know, identify where Everton were going to improve in the summer. And I think that's what concerns me the most, to be honest. What changed in the space of, you know, the last couple of days that's completely, Real Madrid are a fantastic club, don't get me wrong, but it's not as if they're in the best position themselves, are they? You know, they're not in a great financial position by any means. I don't think it's going to necessarily be the easiest job for him at Real Madrid either. So it really baffles me as to, you know, what necessarily has changed over the course of the last couple of days that's, you know, put Real Madrid ahead of Everton in his thinking. It's just, I think that's the thing that concerns me the most. And, you know, with seeing Carlo Ancelotti put out his tweets before, and, you know, they've not exactly gone down well with a lot of Everton supporters. And you can understand why, really, because this is, you know, when something like this comes out of nowhere, I think the frustration and, you know, the anger and the disappointment, they kind of amplified that a little bit more, aren't they? So, yeah, it's just a very strange situation, and not one that I was expecting to be sat here tonight talking about, to be honest.
Gav, is your overriding emotion disappointment, or are you angry? You know, Adam there alluding to there's a bit more of a stronger sentiment among some supporters than disappointment, and you can understand why. How are you feeling about it all this evening?
I think, first of all, I'm going to echo what, you know, Plano Adam said. I'm shocked and surprised, and I'm certainly surprised about the Real Madrid, as I'd said, you know, riddled with debt. You're not exactly in the Galacticals there, are you? Also, as well, the thing about, oh, you know, with Real Madrid, come calling, you don't turn him down. Well, he's been at Real Madrid, hasn't he? You know, it's not as if he's not been there. You know, he's been a victim of the politics of Real Madrid. So that's a surprise. I mean, if it had been someone like, I don't know, AC Milan or Inter Milan, Juventus, you'd probably, I know he's managed at AC Milan before, but, you know, one of them, you'd say, okay, it's going back to Italy, but it seems a strange choice. I mean, not a great squad either, as you've seen in the Champions League. That surprised me. I'm surprised, given his, you know, his previous utterances about the future and even to Rodriguez and stuff. It's never, we always say this, it's happened so many times, but it always seems a significant day when the club loses or gains a manager, doesn't it? Even though it's happened, you know, most days in Adam's 4 years at the Echo, by the sounds of it. It's still a surprise, isn't it? So that's on the other side of the coin. Is, I go back to what I said when Carlo was spoken about on the Royal Blue podcast in December 2019, which I spoke about the other week. It says, I wouldn't have had him in the first place. I said that at the time when his name was muted, that I didn't feel it was the right fit for the club. He was a manager whose career was on a decline. I didn't feel his star previously was what got the best out of players of our, you know, like at Everton. You know, he was obviously a elite player manager, and I didn't, you know, I said that I didn't like the appointment in the first place. Though I appreciated why the club would want to bring in somebody of his name. So in some respects, if his departure. Well, actually, okay. And the fact that he's burnt 11 million quid a year out of our wage bill, I'm not exactly too disappointed, to be fair, from a football perspective, especially given the way we ended the season and the way the style of football. That's the good news. The bad news for me is we're back to year zero again, aren't we? You know, we're no manager. I was talking to a friend last week, and we're going through, like, you know, the different archetypes there are of managers. There's probably five or six different archetypes. You know, the British Bulldog, the you know, the young, trendy foreign coach, the avuncular, old, you know, granddad figure of the game. We've gone through most of them in the last 5 or 6 years, haven't we? So I don't know who else we've got to pick from that, you know, those archetypal managers. We're back at year zero. I believe he's taken his backroom team to Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Bit of that you reported before. So we're kind of changes in the dugout and behind the scenes, and players, you know, players are unnerved, aren't they, by all of this? So that's the bad news. And, you know, there's probably a few players who are probably looking, hang on a minute, and I think, you know, I'm talking about, say, well, do I want to stay at Everton now? And yeah. So that's the other side of the coin. From a football perspective, actually, I don't want to say dodge the bullet, but I'm probably in that category in terms of Carlo. But it's the stuff behind the scenes and back to, as I said, back to another appointment.
It's just upheaval that we don't need again. I mean, we thrived on stability for so long, you know. So I say thrived. Okay, that's the wrong phrase to use, but you know, we were secure under the stability of David Moyes. I mean, what we would take now for back-to-back fifth-place finishes, for an FA Cup final appearance, for European football, was it 3 out of 4 seasons in succession? That spell from, like, so 2007 through to, like, 2012, you know, which was good, you know, so direct football, but it was, you know, it was football worth watching, you know, so, and, you know, that final season under Moyes, you played some really good stuff, even though that was, I think, it was a seventh-place finish. But, you know, it was exciting, it was worth watching. And I know, you know, we got battered for always seeming to fail, you know, so on the big occasion when it mattered most. But generally it was a good, you know, sort of solid period for the football club, because stability proved good for us. And what we haven't got now, what we've got now is completely the opposite. We've got mayhem and we've got upheaval. You know, for Adam to be talking the way he is about 5 managers in 4 years, oh my God, that's just like outrageous. You know, even in, you know, the good old days, it was always like 3 years for a manager. Give him 3 years and then see how he goes before you make a decision. We're not even getting 18 months now out of managers. And to be fair to Everton, this isn't, you know, anything down to Everton. You know, so Carlo Ancelotti has made this decision. Everton have, you know, basically lured him into Everton with ridiculous sum of money, 11.5 million quid a year wages, a £2.5 million, effectively a signing on fee. That was a bonus for keeping Everton in the Premier League, which they were always going to stay in the Premier League. Let's face it, that was just like a little gift for him for coming. And then they've backed him in the transfer market. You know, they've allowed him to bring in players that they wanted to change the transfer strategy. Marcel Brands wanted younger players with potential sell-on value, your Lucas Digne's, your Yerry Mina's. And they've gone against that now to bring in players that Carlo wanted. James Rodriguez, Abdoulaye Doucouré, Alan, who were all like slightly longer in the tooth. Good players, but, you know, so slightly odd, didn't fit that initial strategy. So Everton have done everything they can to back this manager, and he's turned around and basically, you know, turned his back on them, which is, it's very, very sad and very disappointing.
The Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You talked about the word that Prenant that jumped out was stability. And when Marcel Brands signed his new contract recently, I think that was one of the words that was used in the statement. You know, it offers us stability. So, Ad, I would say to you, and I say this fully in the knowledge that the dynamic at boardroom level and ownership level at Everton is perhaps unique and very different to a lot, or certainly very different to a lot of clubs. But I still would say, is this not another opportunity and another indication that you actually need to give more power than he already has, more authority to Marcel Brands to appoint coaches and direct the football, as his job title says he should? Because if you have that level of guidance at the top from Marcel, a man who's going to be here for another 3 years because his contract says he is, he's not going to walk out on anybody, we don't think, of course. But this, having him running things, means that we suffer less turbulence at this point. Yes, we have to go and find a coach or a new manager, but the summer plans will be set in stone because Marcel was effectively leading them.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And I think, you know, given Marcel Brands, that 3-year contract kind of shows that faith in him, doesn't it, really? And, you know, you can't just be using a director of football as essentially a glorified scout. You can't just be signing a manager and then just saying, oh, yeah, you've got to work with Marcel Brands to, you know, effectively bring in the players. You know, it's just not going to really work like that. You know, I think it does need to be very much a lot of faith placed into Marcel Brands. You don't give him that title of director of football if you're not going to be doing that, really. And I think you're completely right. The time has come. It was probably a few years ago as well. The time had come as well. But, you know, now that Brands has only just signed a new contract, as you say, we know we've got 3 years with Marcel Brands at the helm again. Yeah, I think the time has come that he does just need to get somebody who's gonna work in that sort of style. You know, maybe he won't go back to that, you know, previous transfer strategy he had. Maybe he's got a different idea of a transfer strategy that he wants to have with a newer manager. But, you know, somebody who's gonna work in tandem with Marcel Brands in that sense is always gonna be the better option, isn't it? And it does offer more likelihood that we're going to be able to find that sort of stability that Preno was talking about there, because, you know, what we've done in the past hasn't really worked, has it? You know, we've had directors of football not choosing the managers over the last few years, and it's led to, you know, a few disasters, and now like Carlo Ancelotti just walking out on us as well. So it's getting to be a really ridiculous situation at this point, the amount of managers that Everton are going through in the complete lack of stability that we've had. So why not just give Marcel Brands a go? As I say, like, you wouldn't put that faith in him if you didn't think that he could do that job, surely. So yeah, I'd say he's got to be at the forefront of this next decision. You've just got to hope that, you know, the likes of Ken Wright or Moshiri are gonna allow him to do that, because I do think it is pretty important for Everton going forward.
Gav, I mean, obviously you made your sort of feelings about Carlo clear at the time and clear before. Yeah. But obviously we can't say with any certainty, because he's left so soon, whether it was going to work out with Carlo and whether this was going to be the key to unlocking Moshiri's vision heading into Bramley Moor Dock. But nevertheless, what type of manager, in terms of age, experience, style, etc., do you think we need to go for now?
it's like Preno sort of alluded to it there. It's sort of like a David Moyes 2002 appointment, isn't it? Really. It needs to be young, ambitious, with a way of playing that's identifiable, that's modern, that gives, as I say, gives an identity to the club. You've got to have that. That's what we need. For a club with our resources and where we are within the structure of English football, the hierarchy of it, that's what we need. That's why I didn't like Carlo. We need somebody like that who's going to take us forward in a over the long term. He's got a plan for that period, and that's what we need. And that has to come from, and that's, as Adam was saying, that has to come from Brands, doesn't it? Really. So. Yeah, so young and hungry, you know. 2002 Moyes with a bit more flair, perhaps. To be fair to Preno, is what we kill for a KLR, Teta, P&R, Osman midfield, by the way, because I don't get that Moyes long, you know, that stuff. So young, hungry manager with a decent track record of developing players, because that's what we need, Phil, isn't it? Mm. We need somebody with a track record of developing players. And that's also important for where we stand as a club.
It's a great shout, that, but it is always a real gamble bringing in a manager like that. I mean, you know, some, Adam maybe not remember, won't be able to remember when David Moyes came in, but
I can just about remember that.
there wasn't, you know, if I'm casting my mind back, you know, widespread enthusiasm for him. He was a young, you know, sort of driven manager at Preston North End, but he'd not achieved a great deal, you know, sort of while he was there. He turned the club round. You know, they hadn't achieved, well, they got promotion from the third tier to the second tier, but I think they got to the playoffs and the championship. And, you know, they'd done okay, but it was still a real step up for him. And as he proved in his first couple of seasons, he had a great first season, then a very disappointing second season, a great third season, very disappointing fourth season. It took a little while to actually, you know, sort of find, you know, sort of his rhythm there, if you like. And that was a gamble. And, you know, would we be prepared to take that kind of gamble again? Yeah, I don't know. Who's out there that, you know, fits that bill?
Yeah. Well, this is the question. Sorry, Gav. Yeah. I was just going to say that is the other dilemma, isn't it? We've been thrust into a position of having to look for a new manager. Now, of course, don't want to do, you know, Marcel and the board and his recruitment team a disservice. You would like to think that, you know, they prepare for all eventualities and have a list of managers, you know, in the disaster sort of situation. But I don't know, you know, are those people available? Is the market big enough? Is the pool big enough for us to realistically go and get a manager? How long will it take? You know, has enough due diligence been done? Will there be enough time to do the homework adequately? It's the what, 1st, 2nd of June? I mean, the transfer window opens on the 9th. You know, and this is the position we've been left in, and I just think it's a very, very difficult position for the football club to find themselves in.
Just to explain there, when I was talking about Moyes, I wasn't meaning that we should go down the leagues and get somebody maybe we didn't have, like had Moyes' track record in 2002. I meant with somebody obviously being with a bit of ambition and drive, who quite clearly had an identifiable skill in developing young talent and turning them into international players. That's the type of... I mean, I'm not saying that somebody with Moyes' background as such, so sort of with that personality. But as you say, Phil, there's not many about, is there? And that makes it harder. I mean, the only benefit we've got is this has happened in the first week in June and not the last week in July, I suppose.
Mm. I mean, there's all kinds of other candidates out there. I mean, the regular, you know, the names have all been trotted around. I mean, Nuno at Wolves is getting a bit of a shout. David Moyes has been mentioned. That won't happen. Why would he leave West Ham? Eddie Howe mentioned again, a man who took Bournemouth down. I don't think any of them, you know, sort of fit the bill at all, really. An intriguing one is Roberto Martinez, who, you know, actually said, I mean, I wouldn't relish his return, but, you know, so there are plenty out there that would. And apparently he's told people that he's looking forward to a successful, you know, European Championships. Then he wants to get back into club football. He still has his admirers at Goodison Park. I mean, does that mean they wait until the end of the European Championships? That's a real gamble then. You know, or do they try and, you know, organise something beforehand and try and tap him up before the tournament is finished? And
would playing devil's advocate, Prenner, would Farhad Moshiri go and rehire a manager he sacked? Has Roberto done anything at club level to say that he's changed? I don't know.
Who knows? I mean, there's so many imponderables, but I'm not blown away by any of the names out there, to be honest. I mean, we've said this before, we've gone through this. How many times have we been through this over the last few years? And we all pick out the managers that we, you know, so we think would do a job. And I've said many times, I think Rafa Benitez is, you know, a really good coach who would, you know, do a decent job at Everton in the short term. But would Everton go for him? I don't think they would, to be honest, because of the obvious reasons, because of the links that he has with Liverpool and because of the affection he still has, you know, so amongst Liverpool people. So it doesn't leave us with a great deal of options, to be perfectly honest.
The Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Just going back to why Carlo chose Madrid and Gavin Preno had sort of said, well, you know, they're not what they were or haven't been in recent seasons. They've got debts. You know, this isn't a squad. You know, another thing that struck to mind is Carlo spoke so warmly and so passionately about rediscovering a family club at Everton, as he said he'd found at Milan. And yet he's going back into the lion's den almost. He knows what Perez is like as a president. He knows that he could be sacked within 6 months, yet is still accepting of the opportunity. It's almost like, it seems to me as though the appeal of the elite football clubs is almost like a drug. And Carlo, probably at this stage in his career, because his career has fallen down the tiers of elite managers, hasn't he, in recent seasons? And you know, and that's why he was with us. It does feel as though, to me, he's seen this as his last big opportunity.
Yeah, I think you're completely right. I was about to say the same thing. He might be seeing this as a sort of last chance saloon for him to, you know, break his way into those top elite clubs. And you know, in some respects, you can't really argue against that, can you? I think it is just more the way that this has happened rather than the actual decision behind it. You know, to leave Everton for Real Madrid, I think, is, you know, a move that a lot of people, like, in their heart of hearts can probably understand. But to leave Everton for Real Madrid in the way that he has, and, you know, to be, you know, talking only probably last week even about, you know, rebuilding this project, and, you know, as you say, he was talking about Everton as a family club and everything. He was talking up Crosby Beach every second that he could possibly get. So I just feel sorry for all those businesses down at Crosby Beach that are just going to lose out on that free publicity that Carlo Ancelotti was giving them. But it is just a real shame, isn't it? Because that's one of Everton's major selling points at the end of the day. And Carlo Ancelotti very quickly kind of bought into that sort of family atmosphere, didn't he? You know, he only had a few games in front of supporters at Goodison Park. I think he only had 5 games in front of a full Goodison Park. Well, he was unbeaten in those games, in those 5 games, and then he had a few in front of, you know, a reduced crowd, and he only lost that one against Manchester United, didn't he, in the League Cup? So, you know, he really did seem to buy into this sort of family aesthetic, and as you say, like, it is very weird for him to go crawling back to Perez, who obviously he knows very well, he knows him very well from the Super League as well, doesn't he? You know, Carlo Ancelotti's comments on the Super League were very interesting to go back and look at. He spoke very strongly about how wrong they were and how Everton would never do that because they are this family club and they take care of the supporters. But as soon as Real Madrid come calling, who are still in the Super League, as soon as they come calling, he's like, no, okay. Yeah, I'll go back to you then.
I've thought about what I said.
Yeah. Can I just shock you? I actually like the Super League. it's just stuff like that kind of irks people, doesn't it? And you can understand it in that sort of sense because, as you say, like Everton are sort of like a family club. It's sort of like a diametric opposite to Real Madrid in a lot of respects, isn't it? So it's just a really, really weird situation. I'm still struggling to get my head around it, to be honest.
Gav, look, again, playing devil's advocate, trying to read between the lines of the statement. Is there more to it than meets the eye? Has Carlo not been promised what he was expecting this summer in terms of a budget? Has he seen the offer coming for Real Madrid? And yes, they are the club always in his heart, as he said. But also, is he thinking, well, actually, I immediately go and work with a better squad of players. The president has said he'll go and sign X, Y, and Z. Don't worry about the debt. We've still got fund. I don't know. We're trying to sort of piece things together without having spoken to the man himself.
Yeah. As we're not privy to that might come out in time, mightn't it? Said before, when we did our spending spree last summer, that it's pointless appointing Carlo if you're not going to support him. So you would think that he will be supported. Just wondering whether the events at the tail end of the season has come into it, Phil, that Carlo's an elite manager used to win in Champions Leagues. And I mean, as I said, in 2019, his league record, he's won a couple of titles, his league record over the season is not that great for somebody who's managed big teams. Just wondering whether you get stuffed 5-0 at Man City in the last game of the season, and you were used to so much more over your managerial career, whether that had, you know, maybe acted as a bit of a reality check to the standing of Everton, the standard of the players and the job that needed to be done here. When you're used to something different through most of your managerial career, perhaps when Real Madrid come calling, and, you know, you still, you know, regardless, even though they are struggling, they're still hugely competitive with Spain. They nearly won the league, isn't he, with a relatively poor team. In that context, you know, your last couple of games, you've been beaten by Sheffield United at home, lost 5-0 at Man City. You're thinking, even if I get players in, I'm not going to be competitive here. You know,
he's the man.
He is changing.
And the way we started, that's right, those first two or three months, you know, suggested he had turned it around. So,
yeah,
he carries it.
Oh, absolutely, Dave. Absolutely. That's why I said I'm not exactly, you know, in tears and going. Yeah. But at the same time, he's used to dishing out 5-0 wins on the last day of the season, isn't he?
Yeah.
Not being on the receiving end. And although he made noises about being enticed by the project and doing something he's not done before as a manager in terms of developing players and developing a club over the period of years, I just wondering whether at the end of the season, after maybe it's a bit of a reality check.
Possibly.
If Real Madrid had come to us last October when we were top of the league, would he have turned them down? You know, it's an interesting one, but the whole atmosphere around the City game wasn't great, was it? You know, two goalies on the bench, all that type, you know, there's a lot of discussion of this Rodriguez thing maybe has not helped. Yeah. There's been a lot of conjecture, hasn't it, over a few things in the last few weeks, but I just wonder whether the tail end of the season said, well, actually, you've got your work cut out there, Carlo, but and he's probably thinking maybe not got the tools to do the job, or the, you know, or the patience to do it. And so Real Madrid come calling, and then I go. You know what? I know we give, you know, and they have been criticised. I feel really sorry for the board. I feel sorry for Farhad.
Yes, I was saying this earlier to somebody, actually. You don't often feel sorry for a billionaire, but, you know, I think that he finally felt like he probably had landed the man that he'd been after. And it felt like Carlo, 4.5-year deal. Yeah. And he's just, and it wasn't because, and he's not left because Farhad made a decision and you know, may have regretted it the next morning. He's walked out on him, and he must feel, because he's, as you said, Gavin, you've alluded to, and Preno alluded to, Farhad made a significant financial contribution to get him here and made him a promise of a salary, which was unheard of at the football club.
Yeah, absolutely. And to add to that, of course, the people I feel most sorry for are the fans, including ourselves, you know. And understandably, those who feel let down tonight, I fully support, you know, and understand that. Because I expect the better from Carlo. He always come across as a man of integrity, popular within the game and all that type of stuff, but ultimately he's a professional, isn't he? Mm. You live by the sword, die by the sword in that game, don't you?
Indeed. Before people throw their phones or however they're listening to this pod at the wall, I'm just throwing this name out there as a point of discussion, you know, in terms of the context of young, hungry coach might fit more into the director of football model. I mean, what about Graham Potter?
And you're going to say Graham Potter for some reason? Like, one of my cousins was speaking to me about Graham Potter before, and he was saying that he thinks Graham Potter would be a great fit. And to be honest, when Preno was talking about, you know, Preno and Gav were talking about the kind of manager that they'd want, you know, like a young, hungry sort of, you know, young Moyes-esque, but with a bit more flair about him. You know, Potter's face did instantly spring to mind for me, because at the end of the day, you know, Brighton did play some very nice football last season. I think they did a lot of things right. I think they did a lot of things wrong, to be fair. I think there's still certainly a learning curve to go there, because obviously he's still a young coach who needs to develop. To be fair, if he came to Everton, he'd actually have a striker who could score, which would probably
I was going to say he'd probably fit right in Everton, because Brighton didn't score either, did they, last season?
I think it was for very different reasons that they didn't score, to be fair. I think it was maybe just the opposite for them. They were creating a lot of chances, but no thing in the net. So I don't think he's certainly the worst of any of the names that have been mentioned. You know, some of the names that have been mentioned over social media, I don't want to pick some of them out, but some of them have just made me toes curl. Like they're quite bad, and I wouldn't exactly put Potter in that category. I do still think there would be, I would hope there'd be somebody better out there for, I wouldn't know exactly who, but I wouldn't exactly be really, really disappointed if Graham Potter was the man. I think he'd be better than somebody like a Nuno, for example. I think that will probably be a better option than that.
Do we need Premier League experience? Because, you know, like coaches that are like red hot and in vogue, you know, people like Galtier at Lille. I mean, again, just throwing a name out there. But do we have to have a manager who knows the league?
No, not necessarily. Because I think let's say, for example, that we are going to let Marcel Brands be the figurehead behind choosing the new manager. You know, Marcel Brands has now been at the club for 3 years. He knows the league inside and out. He knows, you know, most of the Europe leagues inside and out, doesn't he? He knows the club inside and out at this point. As long as he's going to be working closely with Marcel Brands, then I don't think Premier League proven really needs to be a factor all that much, because, you know, how many managers have we seen over the past few years at different clubs that haven't been Premier League proven and have gone on to make a success of themselves? I think it's just as long as you get the right coach in, as I say, they work well with Marcel Brands, they've got the right sort of attributes, we can back them well in the transfer market to be able to play to the style that they want. I'm not sure the fact that they'll have been in the Premier League before, I'm not sure that's going to really matter all that much.
The Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Pren, I'll keep talking till you're ready to reply. But one name we haven't mentioned, and probably, you know, remiss of us not to mention him, Duncan. Is he ready?
Well, I'm not sure that he is, although I got a very passionate message this evening from an Everton legend, Neville Southall, which you'll be able to read tomorrow on the website, or, you know, Wednesday, whenever you're listening to this. Basically advertising Duncan's claims and saying, you know, how loyal he's been to the club, how passionate he is, what a success he was as a caretaker last time round. But so Duncan himself admitted, even then, he wasn't quite ready for that role yet. And, you know, he needed somebody with, you know, more experience, you know, some more knowledge in the transfer market, certainly. But I was just thinking then when you were talking about Graham Potter and how, you know, Marcel hasn't really been given the opportunity to work as a director of football so far in his tenure at Everton. I mean, Marco Silva was effectively foisted upon him. Sam Allardyce was an emergency appointment. And Carlo Ancelotti, you know, is clearly, you know, sort of being a man wanting to do things his own way against the strategy that Marcel Brands had introduced. So this could be an opportunity to maybe allow Marcel, you know, sort of finally, you know, sort of do his job fully alongside, you know, a manager like maybe Potter or like maybe Duncan, you know, sort of somebody that, you know, has got, you know, not the experience that, you know, other managers have, but that passion and that drive and that desire. I mean, he certainly got a tune out of the players, you know, in the short period that he was in caretaker charge. And then, you know, sort of give Marcel maybe more responsibility. It could be an opportunity to the football club. I mean, we don't see it like that at the moment because we're still burning with frustration and disappointment and upset at what's happened. But possibly this could be an opportunity for some good to come out of this situation.
Gav, it's quite a big question, but I'll pass it on to the lads as well. But who, you know, give me a couple of players who are particularly down tonight at the news of Ancelotti's departure, and give me a couple of players maybe who are thinking, oh, okay, things might be on the up for me now.
Yeah, I wouldn't pass on Graham Potter, by the way. I think he'd be good. Who would be happy? I think at the start of the ones who'd be sad, I think James would probably fall into that category. I would think it would probably be difficult for him during the summer anyway, given what's gone on. You suspect some of our senior players would be looking around now. You know, I say senior, the better ones will be looking around to say, well, hang on a minute. You know, I've only got it like I'm at the, near the peak of my career, or I've got the, you know, best next 4 or 5 years important ones, who want to still stay here. Name names, Richarlison, Deeney would fall into that category, wouldn't he, straight away. You know, that maybe the players Carlo's been brought in. Alan, you know, Alan had mentioned, it was a core, I think it was maybe a little bit more of a brand sign, but Alan would certainly be another one. But the only thing, it's all right saying that, but in likes of Alan's case, you're not going to get the salaries on the revenue if you move. So I think Deeney or Richarlison might. Hammers, it was probably a Buxton flush before Carlo left anyway. I don't know. I mean, the ones who'd be content? I don't know. I mean,
anybody under the age of 23, probably.
Yeah. I think I think the younger players, but I don't know, you know, if you're working with somebody like Carlo as a player, maybe you appreciate who you're working to. But I'm not sure whether there'd be people jumping through hoops. He doesn't strike me as a massive disciplinarian, does he, for a start? Which is maybe part of the problem. But so it's easy to name the players who think would be maybe get their eyes turned and want to follow them out the door. There's probably at least 3 or 4 of them. But elsewhere, I'm not so sure. Because the thing with that, Phil, is some of them players, a new manager might come in, like a Poss, and say, well, you don't play the foot player like, you know, their places could be under threat themselves.
Well, I suppose
it's instability.
Well, thinking out loud in terms of, I mean, look, you would imagine Graham Potter, as an example, I'm just speaking hypothetically. Graham Potter would find it very difficult to turn down Everton Football Club, but he also may look at the squad and go, well, if you want me to play the style of football we played at Brighton, you're going to have to get a lot more better players who can keep hold of the ball and pass it, because ultimately that's been a significant failure of this team, hasn't it? You know, yeah. Whatever strengths we've talked about rightly this season, we've shown defensive solidity, etc. Ability to retain the ball has been a real weakness.
But, I mean, I don't want to sort of stretch the point, because we spoke about it last time. Is in many ways it's a terrible summer to get this new manager, isn't it? Because there's so much deadwood being offloaded this year by so many different clubs. It then becomes an even more difficult job, even if you've got decent players that you go to put them on the market, because you want to bring other players in, you know, to suit your style of play. And that's the other thing that will impact on us as well. So, it's going to be interesting.
Try to find a manager to minimise the kind of disruption. So you say hypothetically, right, let's try and find a manager who fits the bill a bit more like Carlo. Well, Carlo's almost like one off, because he doesn't have a style. He is very much horses for courses. He's, you know, tactically really astute. He's, you know, it's for what that match coming up needs and the players we have available. I mean, that was a major strength of his, and is a major strength of his. But there aren't too many like that.
No, absolutely not. And I think I've right in a way that, like, you know, the timing of this couldn't really have been much worse for Everton at this point. You know, it was already going to be an absolutely huge transfer window. I think over the course of the last few weeks and months of the season, we saw, you know, Everton playing a pretty dire style of football, I would say. And, you know, we were all quite comfortable in it, in the knowledge that, you know, Carlo Ancelotti and Marcel Brands were going to be working really hard to sign the right sort of players that was going to mean that we wouldn't be playing that style of football anymore next season. But that's kind of the style of football and legacy that Carlo Ancelotti's ended up leaving behind now with Everton, which is a real shame, because, you know, those last few months of the season were, you know, pretty grim. Even when we were winning games, you know, it was pretty grim to watch a lot of the time. So, you know, that'd be the issue with going. You know, I do understand what you're saying there, that you'd want to keep as much stability as possible to, you know, reduce the sort of disruption sort of thing. But, you know, if we were to go for somebody who has any sort of similar style to Ancelotti, we'd just be watching grim football again, wouldn't we? You know, I just don't think, you know, unless we did sign a whole new raft of players, I just don't think that those players have really got the capabilities to play in any other sort of system. So you're just left with this, you know, if you set up in a defensive manner, then you know you might be able to eke out some results and even some unexpected results against some good teams. But for the course of the season, I think that squad kind of proved that they're just not capable of doing that. So you do still need to make some quite big investments all over the pitch, don't you? You know, we've been saying for weeks that Everton have desperately lacked pace. You know, you've just said there that we desperately lack players who can, you know, just keep hold of the ball a little bit and be able to pass it on properly. You know, we still need all of these things, I think, regardless of what manager comes in. So I'd argue that you know you might as well just go for a massive change and, you know, try and almost start over again, to be honest. Because, you know, if you're trying to go for the, you know, more stable, less disruptive kind of option, I think you're just going to be left with the same results anyway. So you might as well just go for it.
And Preno, I mean, complicating matters further is that we're fishing in a market that involves Spurs. They're on the lookout for a new manager. And I mean, they've had a significant head start on us, and they've yet to find one. I mean, how much does that complicate the issue?
It makes it very complicated, yeah, because if we're fishing in that same style of manager pond, you know, London is always a very attractive destination, you know, so for football managers. And so, yeah, that does make it, you know, altogether more difficult. I mean, it's funny, you were saying before about which players will actually be, you know, heartened by the fact that he's gone. And you can't think of any, to be perfectly honest. Maybe Jordan Pickford, who's like not used to being left out on the number of occasions he was left out last season. But when he was, it seemed to work successfully, didn't it? You know, he actually became a more rounded, you know, some more consistent goalkeeper towards the end of the season. So the players themselves, I don't think there's anybody there that's going to be like really happy with the situation. You can only hope that whoever it is that we bring in, you know, gets that initial bounce, you know, so that, you know, new manager bounce, you know, so it seems to happen so frequently. And then from, you know, then on, who knows? But yeah, as we said earlier in the podcast, it's the worst possible time, you know, so for it to have happened to Everton. And reiterate once again, it's a problem not of Everton's making this one. You can be accused in the past of, you know, so having made mistakes, you know, so having dropped clangers that, you know, led some managers going. Well, not on this occasion. You know, they've done everything that they could have done to have procured Carlo Ancelotti and to have kept him happy. And for some reason, he's, you know, he suddenly professed this long-lost adoration and admiration for Real Madrid, and, you know, he wants to go there. Be interesting to see what kind of salary he gets there, whether it's even more than the 11.5 million Everton were offering him. And
there was some suggestion, and again, I'm not sure of the source and how legit, but there was some suggestion he was on about £6 million a year, so around half. But again, yeah. no idea if that's true. Gav, just the last one before we finish. Because we could go on all night on this. Just on players, I mean, do you think there's any real threat that Carlo would want to take any of the current Everton squad with him to Madrid?
Yeah. I know the left-back's decent. I think Richarlison would be up there, wouldn't he? I think. But they're the two that springs to mind. Who's it plays left-back? Is it Mendy plays left-back for Madrid? I think Richarlison will be up there, even though he's struggled this season. Can't think the likes of Calvert-Lewin. He's still potential to Calvert-Lewin. But I think Richarlison's in, he will be too. Maybe if he could be you know, stay fifth of the season, you'd say Maynard as well. Maybe. But when it was announced this afternoon that, you know, that was likely. And I had this conversation, and they were the two that I said he would be in the frame to move. Yeah, to be fair.
Okay, we'll leave it there. It's been a good 40 odd minutes, and plenty to reflect on there. And I'm sure we can pod again, because as this summer as unravels and goes on in a direction that we were not expecting. Even as early as this morning, we were not expecting the summer would require a new manager search, but it will. Carlo Ancelotti leaving for Real Madrid earlier this evening. And Everton looking for a new manager again. So, chaps, thank you very much for your company. Brilliant, as always. Thank you very much for listening. This has been the Royal Blue Podcast.
You've been listening to the Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.